We're going to wrap up our series on Sunday morning entitled So Great a Salvation by looking at the two New Testament church ordinances. The ordinance of communion, or the Lord's Supper, which we're observing this morning, and then the ordinance of water baptism, which we'll be observing as a church at the end of this month. These are two very important ordinances for the church to keep. Jesus commanded us to keep these ordinances. And they're very, very powerful pictures of the salvation which we have been studying in detail over the last several months. So we'll look at water baptism next week, but this morning, obviously, let's look at communion. The classic passage on this important ordinance is found right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Read, beginning in verse 23. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Father, give us understanding this morning. Thank you for this beautiful picture. Thank you for giving us this ordinance to keep. We recognize, Lord, that we are to approach your table reverently, understanding the significance of these elements. Open our minds to understand. And Lord, as we partake of these elements this morning, I do ask that you would commune with each one of us in a very special and real way. May we know your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen. So, communion, or the Lord's Supper, is the time when we gather together as a body, corporately, around the table, and we partake of these elements together, the bread and the juice. You could think of this as a family meal, although you're not going to get physically full here. I'm reminded of the story of little Kathy, who usually stayed in children's church on Sunday mornings, but one Sunday she went to her parents to the regular adult service. When communion was served, she turned to her mother and whispered loudly, "The snack in children's church is much better, and we get a lot more juice." It's not a meal like that, and you certainly shouldn't think of this as a snack. This is something very spiritual. And hopefully we'll all be getting full spiritually this morning. Let's answer a few questions about this ordinance, this practice that we've been commanded to keep. When are we supposed to do this? When is the church to gather formally and partake of these elements? Well, I want you to notice the word in verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." The word is often. We're to gather and participate in this often. That is, regularly, consistently. This is something that we as a church are to do frequently. There are some churches that choose to participate of communion every time they gather, every week, and that would be a good thing, but there's no specific guideline for that in Scripture. At our fellowship, we've decided that we will observe communion on the first Sunday of every quarter, and then on the first one Wednesday of every off-quarter month. And then we also celebrate communion on Good Friday, and there are times where we celebrate communion because I just feel like the Lord wants us to do it. So at least 12 times a year, very frequently, consistently. And by the way, we do have a lot of small groups that meet throughout the week. I would encourage them to observe communion frequently as well. It is something that we are to observe consistently. And I believe there's a really important reason for that, because it serves as a great reminder at regular intervals. And we need those reminders. So, we celebrate this often. Now, who is supposed to partake of these elements? Well, as I said before, I do believe this is a family meal. Communion is for believers. Only those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior should be partaking of these elements. I believe the Bible is very clear. It's for those who are saved. It's for those who have become true born-again Christians. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never made that decision, then you should not partake of these elements. You should pass. If you're here this morning and you're just sort of checking out the scene, you're investigating, but you haven't made a full-blown decision to follow Christ, then you should not partake of these elements. You should allow them to pass, because these elements are for those who have put their faith in Christ. Now, I have a better idea this morning. Rather than passing, why don't you receive Christ this morning? Open your heart. Receive Him. And then partake with us freely. This is for believers. And by the way, I would also add, I think that this ordinance is only appropriate for believers who have reached the appropriate age of understanding. This would not be for small children who would think it's a snack. This should be for those who have the ability to recognize the significance of what they are doing. And I would allow parents to have say over that on whether or not they want their child to participate. But there must be understanding. We must understand the significance. Okay, how does this ordinance relate to salvation? It's a picture of salvation. Please understand this. We don't partake of these elements in order to get saved. Partaking of the bread and the wine, that doesn't get you saved. That religious act doesn't get you saved. This is a picture of salvation. This is for those who are saved, who have received Christ by faith. The Bible is very clear. How do you get saved? You get saved by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's by grace. You come to a point where you hear the gospel and you receive Christ. You ask Him to be your Savior. That's how you get saved. This is a picture of that. There are some that will speak of this ordinance, the distribution of these elements, as a sacrament. You ever heard that word before? Sacrament. Sacrament is a vehicle by which God gives His grace to someone. So they would see it as an act by which you are actually receiving grace from God. As you take of these elements, you're receiving grace from God in those elements. You're receiving a blessing from God. You're receiving something from God. I don't believe that this is a sacrament like that. I believe that this is a picture that reminds us of the grace that we have already been given through the sacrifice of Christ when we place our faith in Him. What then are, or what is, I should say, the significance of these elements? What's the significance of the bread and this juice that we're about to distribute? What are we to understand about this? Well, there have been four viewpoints throughout church history as to what happens with these elements. One viewpoint is called transubstantiation. And according to this viewpoint, this bread and this juice actually turns into the physical body and blood of Jesus Christ. It becomes His body. Now, it doesn't lose its taste or color or anything like that, but it actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And when you partake of it, you are partaking of the physical body of Christ. You're taking Him in, and it's a sacrament, and it's something that you should do weekly. Now, I don't believe that that is a biblical understanding. Then there's another viewpoint that's called consubstantiation. And this was espoused by Luther. And this is the idea that, no, it doesn't become the actual body and blood of Christ, but the physical presence of Christ is with these elements. The physical presence of Christ is with, under, and all around these elements. And so when you partake of these elements, you are partaking of Christ physically. And again, that's seen as a sacrament. You're receiving, literally, Christ. Grace from God in that sense. Again, I don't believe that's an accurate portrayal. Then a third viewpoint, which was espoused by Calvin. He believes that, or he taught, that the spiritual presence of Christ is with these elements. It doesn't get turned into the physical body, and it's not the physical presence of Christ. But when you partake of these elements, you're partaking of Christ spiritually. And again, I don't see that in the Scripture. I don't see that as something that's biblical. There's a fourth viewpoint, and this is the one espoused by Zwingli, and the one that I believe is most accurate, and that is that these elements represent the broken body and shed blood of Christ. We take these to remind ourselves. It's a memory aid. So we're going to distribute these elements, and you're going to hold a piece of bread in your hand for a little bit, and you're going to have a little cup of wine, and that should remind you of the broken body of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And it's a very powerful picture. And then by partaking, we're saying that we believe that what He did is applicable to salvation. So I don't see this as this really mystical thing happening, though it is very spiritual. It is a reminder of what Christ has done. Jesus told us to remember what He did for us this way. Okay. Whenever we gather as a church, whenever we approach this table, the Lord's Supper, what should we be thinking? What should be going on in our minds? What should we be focused on? Well, I want to mention five things this morning that I see in the text. And I want you to think of it this way. Whenever you get to the Lord's table at a time of communion like this, there are five directions that you should be looking. And the first direction that I think we should all be looking is backward. We look back. Look what Jesus says in verse 24. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in what? Remembrance of Me." Verse 25, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So in one sense, this service is like a memorial service, right? We gather at the table and we look back. We remember. And what do we remember? Well, first, we should remember the historical facts of what Christ has done for us. We remember that Jesus, God's Son, was sent, came to this earth, lived his life. He was perfect. We remember the facts of the gospel that he allowed himself to be arrested, betrayed. And we think of the horrible things that happened to our Lord, actually happened to him in history, how his body was broken, how the crown of thorns was placed on his head, and then how he was nailed to a cross and crucified. His blood was shed. His body was broken. That happened. And you should sit there at a communion service and reflect on that. Remember what Christ did. And not only just the historical facts of that, but we remember the significance of that. It is by his death on the cross that we're forgiven of our sins. Amen? The Bible teaches that the sins of the world were placed on him. He took the penalty. He took the wrath of God on our behalf. He provided atonement. He was the lamb that was slain. Remember that. Every time we get to the communion table, you reflect on that. It becomes front and center. I think it's also important when we as Christians gather at this table to look back at our own personal conversion. Think back to when you first gave your life to Jesus Christ. When you first heard the gospel. When you first heard about what Christ did for you. And you received him as your Lord and Savior and how he changed your life. You sit at this table and you remember. And you look back. Beyond that, it says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." That word proclaim means to preach. Every time we sit at this table, we are preaching the Lord's death. You didn't know that this morning, but you came to church and you're going to be a preacher this morning. When you partake of these elements, you're preaching. You're proclaiming that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. You're showing that. And then I believe, as we know, many Christians call this ordinance the Eucharist, which means the giving of thanks. There is no doubt that as we sit here and reflect upon what Jesus has done and proclaim what Jesus has done, we are filled with thanksgiving for what he has done. So this is a time where we look back and we remember and we say, Jesus, thank you for what you have done. And I believe that is why we are told to do this often. Often we get to this table and we look back and we remember and we give thanks. Because, you know, things happen in life and maybe we're not so thankful at times. We might be having all kinds of difficult circumstances in life, but you come to the communion table and you're reminded, look what Christ did for you, and then you can give thanks. Constant reminder for us. So that's one direction we look back. The second direction that we should look is up. Every time we're at the table, we should look up and worship to God. Look up and adore him and surrender our lives to him again. Notice how many times the word Lord is used in this passage. Verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. End of verse 27, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Not discerning the Lord's body in verse 29. There's that term Lord over and over and over again. When you use that term Lord, you're saying you're in charge. You're saying you're king. We call this the Lord's table. This is the Lord's supper. You're sitting at the table of the king. He's Lord. We should look up to him and surrender. Re-surrender our lives to him every time you sit at his table. Paul says of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So this is a memorial service, but you could also see it as a coronation service, where we once again become before Jesus and crown him as our king. At this table, we take down our own flags and we lift up the flag of Jesus. This is like pledging allegiance to Jesus. We look up. Worship, we adore, we surrender. And again, I think we do this. This is why we're told to do this often, because we should do this every time. You know, I still struggle with surrendering my life. There are lots of days where I don't feel like surrendering. I want to do my own thing. But as Christians, we're to surrender our lives to him every day, and you sit at the table regularly and you'll be reminded of that. So we look back, we look up, and then here's the third direction that we should look. All of us should look around. And by look around, I mean, yeah, look at the people around you. Look at the body of Christ. Look at your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a corporate celebration. This is when brothers and sisters in Christ gather together. And when we gather around this table, we are to be a fellowship that is in good standing, getting along well with one another. If there is ever a time for unity and harmony in the body of Christ, it's when we sit together at this table. You have ever had a family fight at the dinner table? Come on. Well, I won't make you raise hands, but I can remember growing up and we had some doozies at the family table. We've had some doozies at my house at the family table. What does that do at the meal? It ruins it. Everyone loses their appetite. There's discord. There's disharmony. At the Lord's table, there's to be harmony. There's to be unity. There's to be Christian love being shown. And so I believe that we're to gather and look around, and if there is something that we have against another brother or sister in Christ, if there's a grudge, if there's an offense, if we've been offended, we should be motivated to make that right at the Lord's table. Things weren't going all that good at the church in Corinth. Look back in verse 11, or in chapter 11, to verse 18. It says, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. In that church in Corinth, they were getting together and they were partaking of the Lord's Supper in the context of having a meal together, a church-like potluck. And at that meal, the rich people are being treated a certain way. The poor people are being treated a certain way. There were divisions. There were factions. People were getting drunk. All kinds of discord. Paul says, that's not how you come to the table. It's not how you act in the house of God. Things have to be made right between us. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. How important is reconciliation to Jesus? Very important. So at this table, and again, it's another great reason to do it often, you look around. Did I offend Joe or Susie? Am I having issues with this person? I need to make that right. The body of Christ should be unified. So we look back, we look up, we look around. There's a fourth direction that we should look to, and that is we should look forward. Every time we're at this table, we should look forward to something that's coming on in the future. Did you know that there's coming a time when we will not partake of communion again? There is. I want you to notice here in verse 24, when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That thing, do this, is a command in the Greek, and it's also something that says, continually do it. So, at this time we do this, it's a command, we continually do it, until when? Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, till what? Till he comes. When Jesus Christ comes again for us, we'll no longer be partaking of communion. We won't need the elements. Why? We got Jesus then. We'll be with him. And so every time we sit down at this table, we should remember and take note of the fact that this could be the last time we do it. Because though we remember his death on the cross, we also remember that on the third day he arose. We remember that he ascended, and we remember that he has promised that he's coming back for us. And so we look ahead. We look forward. Several years ago when I was in Israel, I was on a trip to Israel, and I went with a couple of other pastors, and one of the pastors shared with me an insight that I'd never learned about that could be related to communion. As you know, in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, marriages were arranged by parents. And so if a groom got interested in this young gal, he would get his parents and they would go and talk to her parents and they would talk through the issues and they'd arrange it, and then a covenant would be put in place. A dowry would be paid. And then after all that was all completed, this covenant would be brought before this young lady, the bride-to-be. And she was asked, do you want to be a part of this? Are you good with this? And they had a little ceremony. They would go through a ceremony if she said yes, and part of the ceremony was she would take a cup of wine. And she would sip. She'd take a sip from the cup of wine. that ratified her commitment. When that happened, the couple was then betrothed. They were like legally married, but they didn't live together under the same roof. They didn't consummate the marriage. They were legally betrothed, but the groom then would go out and for the next year make ready a place for his bride. Build a house, add on to the father's house. And after that year, and after he got everything ready, he would parade, receive his bride. They'd go back into his place. They'd have a wedding feast. Then they would become formally married. But when that bride took of the drink, she was legally betrothed, and from that day forward, she'd always be looking for her husband to be. What a beautiful picture that is. Jesus, by his blood, has established a covenant with us. A new covenant that we can come to God by grace through faith in him. You get saved, you've partaken of salvation. And now we as the bride of Christ are awaiting the return. And the scripture says that right now he's preparing a place for us. And so I think every time we gather at this table and we partake of that juice, we're saying, I know I belong to Jesus and I can't wait for him to come get me. And what a glorious day that will be. So we look forward. We look ahead. One final direction, a fifth direction that I think we should look at every time we come to the communion. We look back, we look up, we look around, we look ahead. You should also look within. Every time you sit at the table, you should examine yourself. But it says in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man what? Examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. So we should always examine ourselves. You don't want to partake of these elements in an unworthy way. And of course, the most unworthy way to partake of these elements is to do so and not be a believer. Scripture says you are eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. But as Christians, we should also examine ourselves. We should come to this table with reverence. We should come to this table with humility. And you know what? It's always a good time at the communion service to confess your sins. To just take spiritual inventory. What's changed since the last time you were at the table? Is there something that you need to ask for forgiveness for? Or maybe this is the time where you need to repent and return to your Savior. And again, I also believe that is another reason why we do this often, regularly. Because we regularly need to examine ourselves. I'll tell you what. Come to this table. Repent. Get right with the Lord. Every now and then I'll meet a Christian who says, I can't take of communion because I'm so sinful. I've done so many bad things. Listen, don't let sin keep you from this table. Christ died for your sins. Surrender your life again to him. We're celebrating salvation. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. We're going to distribute these elements. I would ask that you would hold them. We'll all partake of them together. Have some quiet time, though, right now with your Lord. Communion board can come forward and we'll get ready. Prepare your heart. First, I would like to extend an invitation to anyone here this morning who's never received Christ. Do so right now and partake of communion with us. If you haven't received Him yet, say this prayer. I'll lead you in a prayer right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising again that third day. I invite you right now to be my Savior. Put my faith and my trust in you. And then as we pass these out and you hold these elements, remember Christ has done. Remember the significance. Worship Him. Thank Him. Perhaps there is a brother or sister the Lord is putting on your heart that you need to get right with. Be filled with hope. Your King's coming back for you. Confess.